You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. Our phone number for Stop Feeding the Predators is area code 614-403-4545. You can always reach us through Facebook private messages, or you can send us an email at help@stopfeedingthepredators.org. Or you can always go to our website if you need any of this information repeated. My name's Lynn, and last week we talked about power. And there was a lot of silliness and some funny stories about my being a control freak. But I'd like to talk a little more seriously about power, about the power struggles that we face today, because rape and sexual assault are about power. It's not about sex. Yes, for one person, they think it is sex. For the other person, it is abuse. It is violent. It is not welcomed. It's not wanted. So obviously, it's a power issue of one over the other. So I'd like to give you a few more things to think about as far as power struggles, and to give you some more hope as far as how do we fix this. Start with the biggest and most obvious. With the world today being what it is, you can't look at the news without there being some kind of conflict to a major extent between religious groups, between nations, and the power struggles between them is just horrendous. It is devastating to all of us, whether we're involved or not. It ends up touching our lives and becoming an argument between us and friends. And I don't think I need to go into too much detail, because all you have to do is type in Muslim, type in ISIS, type in Christian, type in KKK, white supremacists. There's lots and lots, unfortunately, lots and lots of groups that have power struggles with other groups. And on behalf of all human beings, I would like to apologize for that. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. And it's not a peaceful world to live in. And I wish that everyone could find a way to look outside of themselves. A teacher in ninth grade taught me, it is easier to hate than to understand. And I have never taken the easy way out. I always struggle to understand. I always try to understand. And that may be a power thing on my part. I want to know why. But with certain religious groups and certain nations, countries, whatever, they don't care why. They're better than you. They know they are. And they're going to prove it by destroying you. End of their line of thinking. And it's really awful. And for everyone who can recognize how awful that is, I would ask you to look at your own thoughts and opinions, not about religions and nations and various different countries and things like that, but in your day-to-day life. There's a lot of power hungry people in certain social or economic groups. The I haves versus the I wish I hads. And then, of course, you have the middle grounds. I don't have as much as them, but I've got way more than them. And there's a lot of judgment that goes on in these groups. And I would like to discourage that. I would like to help people understand that the judgment that you have because of your social standing or because of your economic wealth doesn't make you a better person. It makes you a person with more stuff, or it might make you a person with more money, but it doesn't make you a better person. There are people who have significant wealth who are angry, violent, mean people. And there are homeless people who, with as little as they have, are incredibly giving of their time, of what little bit material possessions they do have. boss and power hungry. Anyone in the corporate world knows about that. And it can be difficult to work for someone whose primary goal is to control you to get the work done. I've heard it said that a leader is someone who says, "Let's go." And a boss is someone who says, "Tell me when you're done with that." And I encourage people to look to being leaders, even if they're in a boss role and their employer, because it's a lot more fun and the drive is a lot harder when you're working with someone to accomplish something. Even if you're the only one doing it and you know they're counting on you, there's a difference between them saying, I hope this is something you can accomplish for me, compared to somebody who says, "Yeah, I need that by Thursday. Make sure you get that done," and they're done. It is very similar to the haves and the wish I hads. You are a boss, you make a little more money, you've got a bigger title, might have a bigger office, maybe your cubicle's the same size, but you've got that title and you've got a little extra pay and the extra responsibility and such. And yes, there are things that need to be accomplished. And yes, you're going to be held accountable when your team doesn't come through for you. But again, I would encourage people to think about being power hungry versus being a leader for the group of people that you're put in charge of. The adult versus kid power struggle. And with Stop Feeding the Predators, I see this all the time. And I wish I didn't. And the adults are well-meaning people who absolutely love these children, but they have forgotten what it's like to be a child and to be bossed around. And I'll give you some examples. I tell people that if they want their child to be able to speak up and defend themselves verbally from creepy touch or unwanted and unwelcome advances from an adult or even another kid, we have to empower our children to be able to say no. And that means that we need to work with our children, educate our children in such a way that if they don't want something or don't like something, they can respectfully, and that's the key word because I see parents doing that disrespectfully, our children need to be able to respectfully tell us, "No, I don't like that." And have us say, "Okay, well then what do you like?" Or, "Okay, what would you want?" And give them the power to make decisions for themselves. The whole entire goal of parenting is to teach our children to walk and to talk and to ride a bike and to manage money appropriately and to be educated and to be able to make friends and to be able to grow up and have happy, successful lives where they are in charge of their life. They in charge of their decisions. And when we fight with them because we don't like their decisions, we don't like their choices, we're not in agreement, we end up showing them that even if you want something or you don't want something, whichever the case may be, the bigger, louder, stronger, meaner, more bossy person is going to get their way. I know some parents have power struggles with putting their kids in bed at night. And yes, I've had that too. I certainly do not claim to be a perfect parent. In fact, I did it all wrong. That's how I know what I did wrong. One of the things that worked for me with my kids, again, there were 5 kids and me, sometimes you're just not sleepy. Sometimes you're stressed out and you just can't sleep. And having someone tell you that you have to go to sleep is kind of crazy. Think of a boss telling you that you have to climb outside the building and wash the windows on a three-story building. Well, maybe you have a fear of heights and that's not something you can do. It doesn't matter how much they tell you, how loud they tell you, how mean they tell you. If they're telling you to do something that's just not within you to do, it doesn't matter. It becomes a power struggle. You keep saying no and they keep saying yes. As adults to our children, it is our job to educate our kids, to help them find what they need so that they can do what we ask them to do. With my kids, I would say, it's bedtime. I don't care if you fall asleep, but you have to stay in bed. You can read books, you can play with toys, as long as you're in your bed and you're mostly quiet so that other kids can go to sleep if they want to. And it worked. And yes, there were times that two kids didn't want to go to sleep, and so they talked and giggled and made loud noise. But, you know, you survive. Nobody died. The night was okay. And in fact, when you tell kids to do something, if you leave them alone many times, they will get along better if they think they're sneaking. You know, if you say, go to bed, go to sleep right now, and you hear them giggling and talking, they're getting along. They're typically not going to fight. When you get fights is when you tell children, you have to go to sleep right now, because you've asserted your authority over them and they can't comply with what you want, so they're going to fight with somebody else to try to boss them around the way you're teaching them how to boss around. Another thing that adults do with children, which is very harmful, is telling your children, go give so-and-so a hug. Give so-and-so a kiss. And I'm not talking about the creepy stuff that some adults do. I'm talking about general happy families who care about each other. Go give grandma a hug. Well, maybe the kid's not in a hug mood. You know, all of us, regardless of our relationship status, there are times that we simply don't want to hug. We don't want to be touched. We're just not in the mood for it. And there are other times that we want a hug, and in fact, we might need a hug. I suggest to parents to say, go tell grandma goodbye because we're leaving. And leave it up to the child if they want to give a hug, if they want to give a handshake, if they want to stay where they are and wave across the room. Because what you're doing is you're letting your child decide how that relationship is going to be. Many times when children are allowed to decide how they want a relationship with someone, it will be a more healthy relationship, and it absolutely will be a more genuine relationship, because the child isn't being forced to express something that they don't feel, but that the parent feels and is wanting the child to express on their behalf. How many times have you seen gatherings where an adult will say, well, go give grandma a hug, I'll wait here. And that adult never went and gave grandma a hug. And if you have a difficult relationship with your parent or, you know, an in-law, and you don't hug them, then being a boss and telling your kid to go hug them isn't very nice either, because you're telling your kid to do something that you're not capable of doing. And if you want your children to freely give grandma a hug, then it's a good idea for your child to see you give grandma a hug and say, I'll talk to you later, I'll see you later, give him a hug, and then tell the child, tell grandma bye, you know. Or you can even ask, do you want to give grandma a hug or do you just want to wave? I took an educational class about infants and toddlers, and they love choices, because if they get to pick between two things, it's wonderful for them, because they might not like you saying, get your sweater on, but they might like you saying, do you want to wear your blue sweater or your red sweater? Again, it's nice to be given a choice. The adult-kid power struggle is one of the biggest factors in how healthy your child will grow up. Because regardless of what's going on between religions and nations and economic groups, the respect that you teach your child by giving your child respect can make the difference in a healthy child or a child who struggles with relationship, self-esteem, value, putting value on anything. I've seen some people who cherish their knickknacks and yet they allow their child to cry. And I'm not talking about when they've tried everything and can't console the child. I'm talking about they just let the child cry. And I've seen other people who have pets who worry more about their pet's health than they do about their child's health. And they have said, and this is partially accurate, but my dog can't do anything if they need help and I don't help them. Yeah, that's true. But what about your kid? You're the one in charge of taking care of your kid. And if your kid doesn't feel comfortable coming to you with a problem, with an ache, with something not feeling right, it doesn't matter how healthy your dog is. If you're neglecting your child, that's sad. Because you brought your child into the world the same as you brought your dog into your life, and you're responsible for them. When there are power struggles from adult to child, and I'm using the phrase adult to child because some children are raised by their grandparents or their aunts or uncles, or they may be in foster care, so adult to child power struggles. A lot of this becomes evident in kid-to-kid relationships. I knew a woman who had a son, and I saw how her son treated her. Now, her son was, at the time, her son was 4 years old, and I saw the way he treated her and how he talked to her. And I hadn't met the woman's husband ever, but I knew that she was being abused by him because I saw how the son treated his mom. I saw how a four-year-old boy spoke to his mother, how disrespectful, how mean he was, how condescending he was at four. And yes, he was a very intelligent little boy, but he learned how to be disrespectful from his dad. And they were married. I mean, this wasn't a divorced relationship where somebody was holding a grudge and feeding poison to the kid to take it out on mom. This was a married, quote-unquote, happily married couple. And when she and I were alone later, I asked her, I said, does your husband hit you or is he just verbally abusive? Are you safe or do you need a place to go? And she was very surprised that I would even ask that, especially since I'd never met her husband. And she told me that he just says stuff. He doesn't mean anything by it. And it was heartbreaking because the extent of what this four-year-old little boy had learned to say to his mother, the way he had learned to treat her, it was so awful. In the way she interacted with him, my guess is, was pretty much the way she interacted with her husband. She tried to pacify him. She tried to accommodate him. She tried to let him have his way whenever she could so that there wasn't an argument or a fight. And it was very sad because she was just a beautiful person, just great lady. And it really hurt me to see her not living up to her potential, to being the incredible teacher that she was, the nurturer that she was. Kids will begin to do that with other kids as well. If you see a bossy kid, you got a 50-50 shot. Either they're bossed around at home and they can't speak out, so once they get to school, they verbalize everything because they feel safe enough to. Or they're bossed around, someone's bossed around at home, and they believe that that's how you're supposed to be. So they're bossy and they're mean and they're controlling and they tell the other kids what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to do it and how they're supposed to be. When I was a kid, I was quite bossy. And it was because it was the only place that I could speak up and say what I wanted and the way I wanted it. And I was very fortunate to have a lot of wonderful friends who didn't mind me being bossy. They, you know, I wasn't a mean bossy, I was just a controlling bossy. And they didn't mind me being bossy because it kind of gave us, you know, a plan of action, you know, okay, let's play this, and you go there, and you go over there, and I'll do this, and you do that. And I always tried to pit people with their strong suits. You know, if I had a friend who wasn't good at running, they were going to be the one to either hit the ball or kick the ball, and somebody else would run on their behalf. And I think that's a good thing. But when you're controlling people simply because you don't know any other way, and you're being mean and you're telling people what they can and can't do, and you constantly tell people that they're doing it wrong, you may want to look at who's been telling you that. I heard one time, the thing that you cannot stand in someone else is the very thing that you don't like about yourself. And I thought that was just BS. I thought that was just stupid. And then I really got to looking at, for the next couple days after I'd heard that, at my reactions to other people's behavior. And I started seeing some things, just randomly, nothing big or awful, in some people that I interacted with, you know, strangers that I interacted with temporarily, or even friends, you know, a moment in time, whatever. And I would see these things and I would think, oh, I can't stand when people do that. And then I was like, oh, shoot, I do that. And I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't. I mean, I don't do it like that. I mean, I might a little, but no, I don't like that. And I really had to look at my behavior and discovered, yeah, not only do you do it like that, but you're worse because you pretend that you don't do it like that. And you act like you don't do that. And here, you do that all the time. Regardless of your religious beliefs, I've said many times, Stop Feeding the Predators is not about God. I don't have anything to do with your relationship with God. Your relationship with God, if you believe there is a God, your relationship with God is between you and God. That has nothing to do with me. If you go to heaven or hell, nothing to do with me. If you're an atheist, nothing to do with me. If you're insert name of any religion or religious belief or strong non-religious belief here, it has nothing to do with me. But I will mention that people do talk about God. People do believe in God. And I would like to throw out there that God, the God that I know, Christian God, Catholic God, God that I know gives us free will. And that's pretty much why the world's a mess. But that's his thing, not mine. God gave us free will. And that is why there is so much chaos. That is also why there is so much hope. If you love someone who is an addict, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, cats, if someone is an addict and you see the unhealthy behavior in their life and you see the pain it's causing them in their life, the healthy thing to do is educate them, teach them, encourage them for healthier ways. I have said in Al-Anon meetings, a good mom, because we often hear, you know, what do I do? What do I do? My kid's still using, my kid's still drinking, my kid's still this, that, whatever. And I tell them, you know, a good mom tells her child that the stove is hot and they shouldn't touch it. And a good mom, every day in every way, encourages their child to keep a safe distance from the stove, to learn how to cook, but being careful not to get burnt. And a good mom teaches her child the stove is hot and lets them get burned if they don't listen to mom's education. A bad mom duct tapes her child to the wall away from the stove so he can never get hurt. And think about that. When our children are first learning to walk, they're taking their first steps, we are amazed. Oh my goodness, look, you know, she's so little and she's just now learning to walk. Isn't that amazing? If we carry our children for their whole lives, that's an incredibly powerful role. However, our children never learn to walk. Likewise, when we're power hungry and we constantly demand and insist on our way, our children never learn their way. And I've shared with friends, my children have taught me more when I have observed how they did it, quote unquote, wrong. I've learned so much more. Everybody says they want a cure for cancer. But what if the way you're bossing your kid around prevents them from thinking on their own and they're the ones with the cure for cancer in their head? Cure for addictions, the same thing. You know, many discoveries have been made because people didn't like how things were and wanted to make it better, and they sought out their own path to make things better. If we do nothing but teach our kids what we know over and over and over and don't allow them the grace to find their path. I mean, yes, we need to educate them on what we've been through, teach them what we know, but don't insist it's the only way. If God grants us free will, shouldn't we grant that to each other? And I like to encourage people that you are good enough just as you are, regardless if you're a kid, if you're an adult, if you're a power-hungry boss, if you're rich or poor, if you're religious, if you're a politician, you are good enough just as you are. You don't have to boss anyone around or be mean to anyone to prove your worth to the world. Who you are today, even if you're a psycho killer, okay, who you are today is good enough. When you make peace with that, you will realize that your next step is to be healthier than you are right now. If you're a heroin addict right now, if you're an alcoholic right now, if you are obsessed with food right now, that's okay for right now. Acknowledge where you are. Accept where you are. Accept who you are. Realize that you are worth love. You matter. Your thoughts matter. And your goal for tomorrow is to be better tomorrow, healthier tomorrow, than who you are today. Because when we're on our deathbed, we're the only ones that's going with us. We're not taking someone else with us to show God how good we are by bringing along this less than good person, as if there is such a thing. You are good enough just as you are right now. And your goal should be to want to be better, a better you, tomorrow. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and healing starts here.